Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.
If you are a guest here today, maybe you haven't been with us and I haven't got to meet you, or maybe I was out last Sunday, you visited some, and with it, my wife and I certainly want to meet you. We want to greet you. We're excited about what God's doing. One of the things that really excites me, we're becoming more the one new man. Let me explain that. We're growing in our ethnic groups here. Amen? And that excites me. Because I was with Ken Tony in their 5-year celebration, and with Anthony Evans. How many of you know Anthony Evans? Not too many of you white people holding your hands up. Well, let me tell you, I didn't know a lot about him till last night, but we were blessed last night. How many of you know who Antonio Neal is? Yeah. How many of you know who that is? Was that? I have to tell you. No, I'm not going to say that. I'll be in trouble. But I liked him. There was something so authentic. And let me tell you what I loved about him. As an African-American man, he married when he was 19 years old and is still married to the same woman. And she was there. Whew. That so spoke to me. Because how many of you know the industry he's in could really gobble you up to get you into deception and everything with that? But it was a great time. Of course, Sam and his Sam was there from here in Memphis. And it was good, wasn't it? I mean, it was just the presence of God was just incredible. We were so blessed. But what I want you to catch this morning is, this week can be for everyone who will pay the cost, can be a life-changing time. God's going to bring some order that will help us be prepared for what 2015 will be written up in the history books for the world, and especially for this nation, with what God does. I promise you, you will begin to see. Back in, how old is Kenny Thacker, Susan? Can you help me? He's much younger than I am. Anyway, he's probably in his early 50s, but Kenny Thacker is a friend of ours, and he was raised in Hazard, Kentucky. No, the Duke boys are not from there, okay? That Hazard was actually in Georgia. But anyway, Kenny was from there, and back during, I'm assuming I graduated in 70, so I'm assuming in the 80s sometime, a move of God broke out in the Hazard Public School of where students started getting saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And the word sovereign is very cheapened today in religious mind, but it really was sovereign, to the point that the school administration, the school board, met and made a decision. We've had so many snow days, we can't call school off because we'll have to run over. Let's just bus them in every day and let them get through this nonsense. And with that, and so what happened was the teachers started getting saved. And the teachers started getting full of the Holy Ghost. And I forget how many days, if I told you I would be in error, but it was not a short period of time that God moved in Hazard, Kentucky, sovereignly. I mean, at times it looked like they'd had a school shooting in the hallway for students under the power of God. Get ready. It's coming. God's going to show us he can do it without us, but he really wants to partner with us. And I'm telling you, it's coming. There is an unprecedented tsunami of greater apostolic grace that is already in the earth. There are different pockets, smaller pockets of it, but get ready. I believe there's a bowl over Memphis that is full that's going to tip this week. Can I tell you, it's not about City Gate. It's not about touch sheets. It's about God's plan. He wrote in the book of remembrance before time. I mean, well, that's probably not proper, but before the earth, he wrote in a book of remembrance. He wrote on a scroll about what is going to take place in this Mid-South area. And I'm telling you, we're at that place. That bowl is ready to tip over. Memphis, get ready. Mid-South, get ready. Mississippi River Basin, get ready. There is a significant move of God that is happening. Change your language. Quit talk about what's coming. Talk about with it. All the time, you know, when I'm talking about our house being sold, you know, we had someone tour it this week, and when the realtor called and said, I said, say sold. You know, I'm calling that house. I'm not talking about what's going to happen. I'm talking about like it's already happened. It says in the book of Job, chapter 28, I think 22, somewhere along in there, it said, declare a thing and it will be established. Probably got the scripture off, but I'm quoting it right. And we need to declare that this move of God is here. It's building. It will increase. And it's going to set this nation back on its feet to where it would begin. And if you can't buy into that, we'll cast that out of you at the end of the service today. Amen? Because it's time to get real. It's time to get after this. It's time to see these things done. So I bless you in that today. Want to receive our tithes and offerings? I wanted to share with you. I don't like taking special offerings, and we're not. Everybody go, okay? But we need to buy a, what's that desk going to be called? Information desk? Is that what it's called? Reception desk. For out in the foyer. We're remodeling our foyer, and you might have noticed the paint changed, and we took down the Seven Mountain. We haven't abandoned them, but we're changing our emphasis. We're changing things here. We need to put up a big screen TV as part of our vision. We got several things to do. So as you are blessed and you have some extra, can you sow some extra over the next few weeks to help us purchase this? It's just not in the regular budget, being honest with you. And I don't want anybody to feel pressured, but I want every one of you to feel convicted. Amen? Conviction is something internal. Pressure is something external. God never puts pressure on it, but he can convict us from the inside. And so I just declare over your giving today, it's blessed. I declare increase is on every corner, every turn you make, you're going to run into increase. Amen? I declare that the plans that God has for you is to not to do you harm, but to do you good. I declare that you are on a breakthrough. I declare with it, in fact, I dreamed about you. Stand up here right here, my friend, a while. I dreamed that your business so expanded that you had to hire three more people, and God brought to you good Christian brothers that would work for you. I dreamed that this week with that. And I was going to, but anyway, I release that. Everybody stretch your hand towards him. But while you're doing that, here's what I want you to do. Claim it for yourself. Claim it. Father, we declare increase over this man. We declare over his business, and we declare those workers he's going to need are going to be kingdom workers in Jesus' name. Can I just had a thought. I'm adding something. My manuscript is done on my book, and we're reviewing it and going over, and I'm going to add this story to it, and I just thought about it. There's a true story out there of two men who went to work for the railroad back when they were building the railroads across this nation. And several years later, a big, nice car came to where they were, you know, the train was pulling this car, very livable, rail car, you know, with it. And the vice president of the railroad company came out to where they're driving stakes and they're laying cross ties and they're leveling land and they're doing all this. And one of the men who was slinging a sledgehammer, driving stakes, looked, and it was the very man he had went to work for the railroad company with three or four years before. And so after the vice president of the railroad inspected everything, he invited that guy that was on the sledgehammer to come into this nice car to have a drink of, you know, some cold tea or what, you know, something to refresh. And the guy said, you're the vice president of the company. said, yeah. And he said, we both went to work for this company on the same day. What happened? What'd you do right and what did I do wrong? And this is what he said. He said, you went to work for a paycheck. I went to work for the company. True quote. Who are you working for? I work for the kingdom. I'll say it again. Last time I said this, it's been a while. Somebody wrote me an ugly email. And that. It blesses you more that I receive support from this house than it blesses me. Because Susan and I don't have to have a check from here. Not because we have money in the bank, because every time that we go through a period of time to where we give our check back to this ministry so we can float the budget, somebody out of the blue sends us a check. So what I'm trying to share with you, don't work for a paycheck. Feel like you're a shareholder at FedEx, UPS, Homer Skelton. Wherever you work, what's the mattress place y'all working at? He's working at. You work where? Sleep. Sweet sleep? Sweet sleep. That's actually. Okay. I thought you were prophetic. I don't know about that. Don't go to work for your check, because then you're limited to check. Go to work for the company. Go to work for the vision. Is this good? That's what's happening to this man over here. Father, I bless their giving today. I declare increase. I declare debts being reduced. I declare the windows of heaven are open. I declare our household. Somebody needs that 3,100 square foot house 5 minutes from this building. Somebody on a corner lot. 4 bedrooms, 2.5 baths with a great game room. Somebody needs it, Lord. They just hadn't seen it yet. I declare it sold. I thank you for that now in Jesus' name. Go ahead, guys, and receive it. Need a couple guys to move the pulpit out. Thank you. Give the worship team a big hand. Worship on Thursday night starts at 7. Worship on Friday morning starts at 8:30. And worship, of course, Friday night is at 7. And then on Saturday morning at 8:30 again. If any of you want to come in and pray before these meetings, the building will be open. It's going to just be an incredible time. Chuck, I'm switching. Be sure and put your CD in and record on the CD up there. Please don't forget that. Very important. And get it to Dawn. We need these CDs so that we can get them out to the people. Just very, very important, everything that's going on here. Amen? Anything else? I just feel like there's any other announcements or anything. Make sure. And the children are blessed to go and minister to the Lord. Let's give them a big hand clap. Lord, we bless our children. Let them be filled with the Holy Ghost, Lord. Let gifts of healing, let gifts of miracles come forth from our children. Lord, we declare they're blessed going out to minister to the Lord, and they're going to be blessed coming back in to their parents. And we declare that. And we bless every child that's in the womb right now. I bless every child that's in the womb right now. I bless every child that's in the womb right now. I even hear the Lord. I bless the dream of a child coming to a womb. We bless every child that's in the womb. There's a real weightiness of God upon this generation that's being born right now. Can you imagine where our children can be with the powerful songs that are being written that honor God and the music that we have. How many of you realize the power of music and words? Some of you have enough guests and new people that I can share this, but my first vehicle was a 1963 Chevrolet pickup, and my first music device beside the old radio that had a tuning knob, and we had about one or two stations we could get, was an 8-track. How many of you absolutely don't know what an 8-track is? Wow. This is... Debbie Smith, this is sad, isn't it? They don't know what an 8-track is. My first 8-track was a Learjet, the same company that builds Learjets. And my first cassette, I bought it used off a guy named John Dupree, and he gave me 2 8-tracks to go with it in the deal. One was the Four Seasons, and I still love them. But the other was Nancy Sinatra, "These Boots Were Made for Walking." Can I tell you what? Every time I hear that song, let me go back. I want to take a step back. That 63 pickup, the motor was so wore out that it was constantly putting blue smoke out the back of it. I mean, it was wore out. I paid $325 for it, I think. But every time I hear that song, "These Boots Were Made for Walking," can I tell you what? I can smell the blow-by off that engine, and I can tell you who was right here. The power. And it wasn't me. It wasn't her. It was a long list of others. But anyway, that's the power of music. That's the power of words. And that's not even a good man. But can you imagine what our children are getting during worship today? Anyway, we're switching gears. I'm excited because I've got a word in my spirit. I want to talk to you today about the power of His purpose in your life. The power of His purpose. I believe this is going to be a series. I know Dutch is in the pulpit next Sunday, and then the following Sunday we've got our banquet. Oh, another announcement. Okay? Let me do this. If our Christmas banquet, your children, what's the age for the children have to buy a ticket?
6 to 12.
6 to 12, okay? If you have children 6 to 12 and buying their ticket, how much was it?
$7.
And that's going to challenge you. If you'll see me or Susan or Vicky, we'll help you. I do not want anybody missing this banquet because of a financial reason. Huh? But you must sign up, and you can't wait. When's the cutoff date on that?
Next Sunday.
Next Sunday, okay? So have the green in your hand or humility in your heart to come and ask us for some help. And I promise you, it has to come out of Susan's billfold. It will be done because we want, and let me share, if you can sign them up and pay for them next Sunday, if you've got friends or family you want to invite, we'll make it happen. Amen?
And,
but you must sign up. If you're not signed up, we've got ministers who, can I be ugly? We got ministers who's not signed up for the dinner, and they're going to show up Thursday night, and they're going to get their feelings hurt. They're calling me every day. I forgot to. I said, "Did you read the part that we put in there about the cutoff was a week or two ago?" "Oh, yeah, I did." But I said, "Well, we're full. We cannot pack another skinny person around a table. And there's not many skinny people in the U.S., so we can't get it, you know." And so anyway, I want you to catch this, and I want you to understand. I want to read something to you. What happened? Uh-oh. That ain't good. There it is. Okay. We're talking about the power of purpose. But I want to read something to you. A woman was tried about, you know, how many of you sometimes think you have problems? Okay. Well, I want to kind of focus you. See, we got to focus on the answer, not the problem. A woman was being tried for the death of her third husband. The prosecuting attorney was asking her some questions. He first asked her, "How did your first husband die?" She answered that he died of mushroom poisoning. He then asked her, said, then how did your second husband die? And she answered, mushroom poisoning. He then asked her how her third husband died, and she said he died of a brain concussion. He then asked her how. She answered and said, for refusing to eat mushrooms. Some of you are slow. She then had a problem. Amen? You know, just because the first two died of mushroom poisoning, she didn't have a problem. But when it came out about the third one, she had a problem. See, how many of you know that sometimes the problems we perceive, we make them worse because of our perception? I'm amazed at the people that can see something and see something. Now, I'm going to do this. I think it was a very tragic situation that took place both in New York and Ferguson. Don't you understand that? But I'm amazed how the same people, even of the same race, were there and saw it. And I've read some of the transcripts now, and they saw such diverse different things, you know, with that seeing the same thing. How many of you realize that it's true? We don't really see things as they are. We see things as we are.
Yes.
Amen? We really don't see things as they are. We really see things as we are. The power of purpose. Amen? In Romans, it says, and we know that all things work together for good. Dutch Soul, if you haven't heard his message, he did on the Sunday after our son-in-law was promoted to heaven. You need to get that CD. You need to listen to it. It's not that all things are good, but all things can work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. I want you to catch it. You got to catch this or my message won't be relevant to you today. According to his purpose. According to his purpose. Look to your neighbor and say, his purpose. See, many of you today are frustrated. You're weary. You're upset. You're cast down. Whatever is going on, because you're still looking to discover your purpose in Christ. When the truth of the matter is, it's not about your purpose in him. It's about his purpose through you. And when you shift your thinking to where you're beginning to look for his purpose. See, every person, anybody here, I'm not asking you to hold your hands up, but anybody here or know someone that maybe was a product of a rape, or that you're aware your parents shared with you that, you know, you were in an accident, or you know, you weren't supposed to come at that time. No, 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 no. That is human understanding. There was a reason for you being born, and it was so his purpose can be fulfilled through your life. Now, if you are on that journey to trying to find your purpose, see, you have a destiny. He has a purpose. And when you shift this way of thinking about this, you can move into a place that is so peaceful. When you shift from trying to fulfill your purpose to allowing his purpose to be fulfilled through you, then you're going to move out of trying to live by the supply of God, and you can move into where you live by the overflow of God. Actually, I'm going to do a series on that. You'll move from being that slave into becoming that bondservant, which is really a son or a daughter. How many of you remember the prophetic word that came forth a few weeks ago that what was ahead for the church is God was going to move the church out of performance into obedience? Slaves and servants perform. Sons and daughters are obedient. Come on, we've got to get out. Are there works to do? Yes, but we need to do it because we know that we know that we know that we are a son or daughter of the Lord. According to his purpose, listen to this, Romans 8, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed. You were predestined to be conformed to his image. I got news for you. He's working on you.
And some of you are resisting. Some of you don't like the process. Amen? The process is not always easy. You know, I like to sing this every once. Why me, Lord? What did I ever do? How many of you remember that old story? I'm a man whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, why am I so misunderstood? And it goes on. But we've got to come in to the reality of shifting so that he can come. See, when it wasn't about Mary's purpose, the mother of Jesus, it was about God's purpose through her for bringing forth the Son of Glory. And God is wanting, if you will shift your understanding and thinking right now, God is going to overshadow you in this next season of the church, just as he did Mary, and you're going to burst forth something supernatural that will cause the world to become a better place. It is your time. You've lived into your time. You are standing on the edge of some of the greatest movement forward and greatest breakthrough that you have ever dreamed about. Be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, look at your neighbor and say, that's you. Now look at your neighbor and say, that's me. We've been predestined. These he also called, whom he called, he also justified. Look to your neighbor now and say, you've been justified. I've been justified. We all been justified. His work was complete. And he spoke, it is finished. All right. Whom he called, predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. How many of you know that every obedient act that you take or make, you're being glorified? Amen? You bring glory to the Lord. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all mankind unto me. But you are being glorified with him just through your obedience. I've said this for several years now. Let me tell you what God wants from you. How many of you are seeking the Lord for a word for 2015? You should be. Let me tell you what God wants from you. Raw obedience. I've referred to this many, many times. Jesus's mother, Mary, said to his disciples there in John chapter 2, right before he did the first miracle of turning the water into wine, she said, whatever he says, just do it. Look to your neighbor and say, just do it. Listen, you know, it's like here. You know, I was reading my manuscript the other day, and in there I put a story about someone who came and became a part of this church. When they came, they told me, said, you know, I've been having a home prayer meeting for 14 years, and I wonder how you felt about that. Should I shut it down? I said, heaven no. I said, well, the last two churches I in, the pastor wanted me to shut it down. You know, why would any pastor want a prayer meeting shut down? And then I have some insecure pastor that will hear this, and they'll say to me, what if they're praying witchcraft prayer? Let me tell you something. A curse without cause can't come. Come on. Amen? Are there witchcraft prayer? Are they praying those Aaron and Miriam and those kind of prayers? All that can happen, but listen, pray. God can straighten it out. And this woman, she was just astounded. She said to me, she said, I can't believe that you won't. I said, I don't want you to stop it. If God gives you the unction during this service, I think I mentioned this recently. Vicki, sometimes during preaching or worship, just goes around and prays for people, encourages people. Listen, we're not trying to run everything. You know, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 14, let everything be done in decent and in order. Let me tell you the apostolic version of that. But let it be done. Sometimes we look so much for the structure and the order, we miss the doing part. Come on. Most of what I know today, most of where God has perfected me to, is because I was willing to step out in faith and make a mistake. That's good. He's the best mistake maker, cleaner upper that there is. He has no problem with stinky diapers. If you make a mess, he can change your mess into something brand new, spanking clean. He can cause you to rise up above it. He just wants somebody that's willing to say, Lord, speak and tell me to come, and I'll come.
Hallelujah.
But see, some of you, all you can do is focus in on the part of the scriptures. It says Peter began to sink. I'd rather drown trying. Statistic. A group of 80-year-old and older people were asked toward the ends of their days, what is their greatest regret? Anybody want to take a guess what it might have been? Come on, you act like you're in church. You're not in church, you are the church. See, we've had all these services where we can't talk about anybody, what people 80 and over, what their greatest regret in life was. What do you think it was?
Enjoying life.
Enjoying life? That wasn't it. And it kind of is in it, but that's not it. What? What? Never trying. That's close. It's in it. What, this lady, who had her hand over here? Say it again.
Fulfilling their dreams.
Fulfilling their dreams. The answer's in there. You're just not saying like I want it. Who else?
They didn't take more risks.
That's it. Every person, 80 and over, that took the survey said, if I had my life to do, I'd take more risks. I look back. Listen, I've been a risk taker since I was 4 years old. You want to hear my first risk? When I was about 4 years old, my dad bought me a John Deere pedal tractor. Some of you heard me tell this story. I took a hammer and beat it to pieces. And took the wheels off of it and built a go-kart. Listen, that was a big risk. You don't know what a metal John Deere tractor cost of a paycheck even back in those days. We won't go back how far that was. Late 50s. Are you hearing me? Risk taker. But yet I look back on several things that I wish I'd have took a risk and went after it. Amen. I wish I would have done it when I was a younger man. Are you hearing me? In Exodus chapter 9 and verse 16, it says, for indeed, for this purpose have I raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name, for those that are guests, you need to understand, anytime you read the word name in either the Hebrew or the Greek, it means character, authority, and nature. I'm not going to go into it, but there were many people called Yeshua in the name of Yeshua. Okay? But let me go back to this verse. It says, But indeed for this purpose I've raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my character, authority, and nature may be declared in all of the earth. Let me tell you what your purpose is, what his purpose to your life is. Number one, you need to understand that purpose is the original intent for creation. When he created man, he created you, Bobby, so he could fulfill his purpose through you. This little boy, what's his name?
Tristan.
Hey, Tristan. What a smile. Oh, with that. When this child was conceived, he was conceived so that Christ can fulfill his purpose through him. See, some of you don't feel valid. Some of you don't feel worthy enough for God to fulfill his purpose through you. You need to shake that off. I'm going to be just a little bit of who I am. I mean, anybody ever here ever been around a farm or a barnyard? You got any country people here? You ever walk through a barnyard? Sometime when you get to the other side of the barnyard, you have to do this. See, barnyards have things in it. If you step in it, it's not yet been conformed to its image of fertilizer. And it gets on your feet and you got to shake it off. And see, some of you just need to shake it off. Listen, if you don't feel valid, if you don't feel worthy, if you don't feel able, if you don't feel enabled, I've got news for you. You're living beneath where he created you to live. He wants us to feel like we need him, but he doesn't want us to feel in any way that we can't accomplish his purpose, allow his purpose to be accomplished through our life. Purpose is the original intent for creation, the original reason for existence, the destination that prompts the journey into destiny, and the aspiration for the inspiration that will cause you to pay that price. We are going to grow this next year. I'm not looking for numbers. But I'm looking for numbers. Do you understand that? I don't want the biggest church in the area. I want the healthiest and strongest church. That people are so impregnated with his purpose that they're just doing the stuff. Like John Wimber said many, many years ago. You know, he was in a Bible study forever, and they were teaching about the gifts and teaching about Holy Spirit and teaching about all that. And he asked the teacher in this home Bible study one night, he said, when are we going to get to do the stuff? I hope you're here because you want to do the stuff. I hope you're here because you're tired of the status quo. John Maxwell says the definition of the status quo is the mess we're in. I hope you're here because we as City Gate shareholders and family under the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ, our chief apostle, we can make a difference in this whole surrounding territory. We can see 100 churches aligned. We can see 300 churches aligned. We can see this work in Jonesboro become vibrant. We can see this work in Little Rock become vibrant. I cannot do those things without you. And if you're on the page that you want to come on Sunday and be warm and fuzzy, we love you. Please don't leave. But it ain't happening here. But if you want to come and be equipped to be a devil kicker, to be a tongue talker, if you want to come and be enabled that you can make a difference at FedEx, or you can make a difference at Sharp, or you can make a difference at Sleep Cheap, I think you said a while ago. Make a difference on the roof of the house, pulling a gutter down. If you can make a difference at Homer Skelton's, wherever, at a TV station network, wherever it is that you're doing, if that's what you're wanting, you're in the right place. Because I'm going to pay the price to put the resources on your job site in your life so that you can rise up and do exploits and be strong in your land.
Praise God.
I hope today when you leave here that you go by the Dollar Tree and buy a squirt gun so you can attack hell with it. I don't want you to leave here warm and fuzzy, feeling good. It's Christmas. I love my daughter-in-law put Logan, something about Logan, my grandson, on Facebook this morning. I loved it. He told her, said, I don't want presents this year. I won't get presents for people that are needy. And he started in with his other grandfather, called him Poppy, and he said, I think I need to get some cardboard and paper for Poppy. And then he has a great grandfather and grandmother, and he said, and they need a new shower head and some cleaning essentials. I don't know whether his other grandparents have read this on there. And then he talked about his aunt. And he said, she doesn't need anything because her husband, Brad, has a good job. He makes $1,000 a year. Didn't mention us for some reason. I guess we're not needy in his eyes. You know, he hears his father, Dean Nash. My son calls me Daddy Deep Pockets, all right? So Logan probably believes that for some reason. Amen. My kids don't know it, but they have this conspiracy going that, you know, let's talk to Dad. He'll do it. All right. Are you hearing me? See, without purpose, without his purpose in your life, life just simply becomes an experiment. It will result in a haphazard journey full of frustrations, full of disappointments, and full of total failures. Let me tell you what a total failure is. It's when you didn't learn from your failure. You know, I probably need to add into this series my message. I love to do it. How to fail forward. Edison failed 1,000, I think, over 1,000, I think it was 1,019 times before he invented the light bulb. And one of the light bulbs that Edison invented has been burning continuously since that time and is still burning in Henry Ford's museum up there, still burning to this day. We don't even have light bulbs that good today. But yet he failed over and over. J.C. Penney went bankrupt. Sam Walton went bankrupt. We could talk about it, but they learned from their failure and they rose up out of the ashes. You know, it doesn't matter what I know about your life when I spoke over this man today, prophetic. It doesn't matter what I know about your life until you know that about your life. But if some of you knew what I know about you, if somebody some of you understood what I know, get ready, Sylvia. I'm telling you, heart's desires this year, things that God planted in the both of you some time ago, they're going to bud this year. They're going to come forth. There is a deep desire. You are an entrepreneur deep down inside of you. I mean, the road that's ahead is taking more risk. And God's going to push you. He's plucking some feathers out of your nest. And he's going to kick you out to where you soar. I'm telling you. And there was something about that word. I can't remember. You probably told me, but I don't remember everything. Are you carrying a child right now? Are you?
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Is that right? Okay. I didn't know, but I just felt something about that as I was. Maybe it has to do with a family member, but I felt something there about that. But it's risk-taking time. See, some of you need to do it. I mean, you know, this morning, the Lord has begun to sing prophetically. That's a risk. Am I really hearing God? What's going on? What are you hearing? What are you seeing? See, without purpose, life is just a trial and error game that will always be controlled by circumstances that will never allow us to focus on our destiny. How many of you know destiny is not a destination? See, some of y'all keep looking for the destination. It don't ever stop. The cloud, listen, do you know, as great as what John Wesley started in the Methodist Church, and I'm not bashing them, but the cloud moved and they didn't. Whatever God started in any of our structural, denominational, or non-denominational churches. I'm not being ugly, but the cloud moved with the faith camp. The cloud moved with the deliverance camp. The cloud has moved, and they didn't move with it. Back in Isaiah 4, it talks about a cloud by day and a fire by night. The cloud by day are apostles. The fire by night are the prophets. And what it's speaking about there, it begins that whole chapter. It said, in that day, seven women will lay hold of one man. That man is the apostolic presbytery for a territory. And they're going to say, let me wear my own apparel and eat my own food. In other words, we don't want to leave our way of doing things. We don't want to leave our traditional values, but we want to connect with the apostolic because there's so much life on it. And then the scripture in Isaiah 4 goes on and says this, and it said, those that are recorded among the living in Jerusalem. See, if you will discover his purpose, or as you have discovered his purpose through your life, if you will begin to apply it, develop it, be obedient to it. See, without purpose, time has no meaning. I'm not as young as I once was. I'll be 62 this year. time in my life has a meaning because I understand there's some thing that I must finish. See, some of you in here are the Solomons that's going to build the temple. What I'm going to do with the next 20-some years of going, burning the candle at both ends and in the middle, I'm going to put resources on the job site that you can build the temple with. That's my call. I'm going to equip you to be facilitators. I'm going to equip you to be greater carriers of the glory of God. But see, without purpose, time has no meaning. 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 12. David therefore departed and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and all of his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, look to your neighbor and say distress. And everyone who was in debt, say in debt. And everyone who was discontented, say discontented, gathered to him. And he became a captain over him, and they were with him about 400 men. Proverbs 20 verse 5 says, the purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out. See, those people that were discontent, those people were distressed, and those people were in debt, they were at the place that they couldn't see how it would ever change. There are people in this room, you cannot believe that it will ever change. But because God has called me to be a man of understanding, I'm going to help you draw out the spiritual understanding that you need for your life, that you can rise up above where you are currently living and fulfill the call of God on you and your wife. You've got to come into that place. See, God created us to need each other. Right. Art, do y'all come? I share the prayer I prayed over y'all before God brought you here. I've known Art and Wanda, not real personally, but I know what they carry in this territory. I believe they are generals of intercession. I have believed that for years. And one day I just cried out to God. I said, God, what am I doing wrong? What have I done wrong? Why can't you give me a general like them? It was just a short period of time after that. They came here and visited, and then God started moving them this way. See, you have to understand, I knew I needed them. And they came in the understanding that they needed maybe something that was in my life. But the truth of the matter is we needed each other because there's a synergy that comes forth when we realize how much we need each other. See, fulfilling his purpose must be the primary goal of your life. See, if you've got an attitude, you just work for FedEx, your attitude is you just work for a paycheck. Or work for, just went blank on the name of where you work at. What's the name of the?
Milan.
God has placed every person where you're at. Some of the jobs that you have right now are hallways. I don't spend a lot of time in hallways. Amen? You ever visited someone's house and they get this hallway and they put all these pictures in the hallway? I don't ever stop and look at them. Because most of the time at the end of the hallway is the comfort station. I'm going down that hallway for a reason. I'm moving from one room to another room. I'm moving from one state of existence into a greater state of existence. We move down those hallways together because God has a plan for us. Fulfilling his purpose must be the primary goal of every person. It takes planning and understanding to fulfill it. Can I challenge you? I'll give you my notes. Every one of you need to write out a mission statement for 2015. I like to call them a purpose statement. Can I just call it what I like to call it? You need to write out a purpose statement. It's about how is he going to accomplish his purpose through you. You need to write out a one-year one, and you need to write out a three-year one. When I start to Atlanta, Georgia, to Citygate, Atlanta, I go on 78 toward Birmingham, and I know when I get to Birmingham, I'm just about, it's about 3 hours from here. I'm 3 hours from the church there. See, if you don't set goals, you don't know whether you're going forward or sliding backwards. If you don't have a strategy, You listen, hope is not a strategy. Some of you are hoping to become debt free. Some of you are hoping for better jobs. Some of you are even praying for better jobs, but you've not even went back yet and tweaked and revised your resume to a place that it, I'm not talking about putting something that's not truthful, but how many of you know there's language that are looking for and there are websites that can teach you how to tweak it and make it communicate what they're looking for. And I'm happy to share notes on how to write a purpose statement, but you need to write out your purpose statement. Where do you want to be in 3 months? Where do you want to be in 6 months? Where do you want to be in 1 year? We plan to be debt-free in less than 7 years. We plan to retire $500,000 debt on this building in the next 7 years. Everybody look around the room. And everybody talk to me. Say, Apostle? That's going to be a miracle. I know churches twice the size of this that don't have a plan or a strategy. That's why the bank called us, a bank we didn't bank with, wanted our business, moved it there, and refinanced us at 4% interest on 10 years. And if we do it like we're trying to do it, sacrificing, can you imagine? We're going to have a party that day. Hallelujah. We burn that note, we're going to have a party. I might even preach off the roof. I preached one time off the scissor lift in here. Amen? I might need to do that again. See, plans can change, but his purpose through your life is constant. God didn't wake up. You know, they just built a new house out in Oakland. I think it was for one of our vets that came back and it had both his legs blown off. I don't know if you saw this on the news. I thought it was an incredible story. The house is completely equipped for him and everything. You know that God didn't wake up surprised the day he got his leg blown off. God, listen, if God has called him to ride a bicycle across the United States, it didn't change when his legs got blown off. Amen? He might have to ride a bicycle that you pedal with your hand, but I'm telling you, and somebody said, that's not a bicycle, ride an apparatus. See, you were designed for his purpose in your life, and you are perfect for it. You know that when you were mistreated as a young woman, or your dad was abusive to you, or whatever that went on in your life, that those things can work if you'll get healed to make you stronger. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, comforting those who are in any trouble. Everybody say any trouble. Any trouble by the comfort that you were comforted in your own trouble. I always like to boast in the Lord. It's not me. But before I was born again, I had an addiction to prescription drugs. I had a doctor who didn't mind writing abusive prescriptions for speed. Some of you are guests and never heard it. I lived the last 3 months of my life before becoming born again on about 5 hours of sleep every 7 days. I was taking 40 hits of speed a day. I mean, you don't know. But can I tell you something? Get near me with an addiction to prescription drugs or drugs. And I'm telling you, there's an anointing in my life. There is an authority in me. And you're going to get set free. And God wants to take the very trouble that you went through in your life, whatever somebody else did to you that was an injustice, he wants to take that. If you allow God to heal you, you will become a strength and a comfort to those who are downtrodden. You will become a life source to them when his purpose and his life flows through you. But you've got to yield. Man, I've heard from heaven about this word. One of my spiritual fathers who's with the Lord, Warwick Shenton, you say this all the time. I haven't said it in a long time. Natalie, you're greater than you've yet become. Michelle, you're greater than you've yet. Rita, you're greater than. Wanda, you're greater than you've become. Craig, you're greater than you've yet become. But can I tell you what? Ooh, sometimes that pressure of being between a hard place and the rock. And I'm not talking about an actor. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. Between a rock and a hard place. That pressure when you get in there to squeeze out that greatness. Sometimes it just hurts. I ministered on Saturday morning at 5:30 in the morning to a couple that I know in Atlanta, Georgia, who lost a custody case of a child that has autism and cerebral palsy. Yeah, cerebral palsy. 5:30 a.m. in the morning. And one of the things that I told them, they lost the case. They lost the case. The ex-husband, the father of this child, got complete custody. The mother cannot even see this child unless the father gives her permission. And he's narcissistic. He's selfish. His own dad testified against his son in the court case. That's how bad it is. And the one thing I said to the man was this. He kept asking me why. I said, wrong question. God will never answer your whys. He doesn't have an answer for why this happened. He doesn't have an answer of why that happened. What he will answer is, what will I do to get glory from this? Amen. He's not about answering the why. Why were we in that accident? Are you hearing me? Plans change, but his purpose for your life is constant. So you were designed for his purpose to be fulfilled, and you're perfect for it. I want to begin to close with this. Purpose is often multiple. His purpose for your life is multiple. From years, way back when I knew Larry and Hope Yancey, back in the 90s, I think I might have mentioned the late 80s. But back in the 90s, most people called me prophet then. He was still perfecting this apostles' call, still is. I'm not looking to be perfect, to be perfect. I'm looking to be perfected. There's a difference. Perfect, you reach the destination. Perfected, you stay on the journey. But see, purpose is often multiple. Let me show you. The sun has multiple purposes. It separates day and night. It marks season, days, and years. It governs the day. It separates the light from the dark, and it gives light to the earth. I'm a daddy. I'm a grandfather. I'm a papa. I'm a husband. I'm a friend. I'm an apostle. I can become a prophet. I'm a mechanic. If you don't believe me, ask Ian. Showed up at my house. Had his car towed to my house, drives a diesel car, and Ian had him a blonde moment and filled his diesel car with gas. Y'all remember him throwing me under the bus about the small deer? Payback is here. And he shows up at my house on a Friday night. His dad was there, Chuck. And I spend about 3 hours getting the gas out of his diesel car and getting it where it will run right. I know how to do this stuff. I have multiple purposes. Let me say it different. His purposes through me are multiple. So there are times that I can be any of those above, and there's times that you can. See, his purpose cannot be fulfilled in isolation. Listen to this. Proverbs 18:1. I want to take a step back. Let me say that. His purpose causes you to be interdependent. Won't that settle in on you? If you are living, if you've been hurt enough that you're trying to live the life without being interdependent with other people, if you're living the life of that, you are on dangerous ground, and I'm fixing to bring it out in just a minute to help you understand. See, nothing and no one exists for itself. Everything and everyone must be related and joined to something else, to something or someone else. One of the most life-giving things that's in my life is being joined to Dutch Sheets. Can I tell you, and it's not because he's an apostle to this nation, it's because we have a friendship. Purpose cannot be fulfilled in isolation. Proverbs 18:1, my last scripture. It says there, in the original Hebrew, a man through his own desires will isolate himself, seek wisdom, but then quarrel with it when it comes. Satan, the serpent, the deceiver, the devil has one weapon. And that weapon is to get you to exchange the truth for a lie. And the greatest way that he can accomplish getting you to exchange the truth for a lie is by getting you to isolate yourself where there's no safety in a multitude of counsel. I have studied for years, and I'm of the very strong opinion that when the serpent tempted Eve, Adam was not standing there. He was somewhere in the garden. I believe I can make strong doctrinal dogma for this. But I'm going to leave it as an opinion of Clay Nash. And by doing that, she bought in to the lie and she exchanged the truth for a lie because he said to her, "Will you surely die?" And then she went and she got her husband, because he was weak, not because she was strong, not because she manipulated. She had already bought into the deception, and she got him to exchange the truth for a lie. And then I can show you when God came through the garden. You know, they hid themselves. See, they're still exchanging the truth for a lie. They didn't understand God at that point. They thought he was a judge and not their father. They didn't want to live in the fact that he had created them and all they had to do. Listen, I want to tell you, if you've messed up this week, don't run away from God. Run to him.
Amen.
He's not looking to hurt you. He might have to say the words to you. Who can I pick on here? I'll use Craig over here. No, I'll use Chris. He might have to say the words to you, Chris. This is going to hurt me more than it does you, son. But I have to tell you, I used to think my dad was crazy when he said that. But I've had God take me to the woodshed. I've had him say those words to me. And it did. It broke his heart to have to correct me. But I also read in God's word, it said, if we are not chastened, if we are not corrected, we're the same as a bastard. That's what the original text said. In other words, we are someone who is fatherless. I'm telling you, we, Citygate shareholders, are going to make a difference in this territory. And we're going to raise up men and women that are not orphans. We're going to raise up men and women that are not without a spiritual father and not without Father God who sits in heaven, and we're going to cause your identity to be complete because you know that you can call on Abba.
Right. Yes.
Some of you need to let go. All you remember is how you were hurt in the last church and how the last pastor and how the last leader and how with that. Bring closure. I don't know if you're watching or not. Someone wrote me sent to the website an email. Said this pulpit was demonic and our music was demonic. If you're listening, I disagree, as you know by now. You see where these kind of make pyramid shapes? Can I share something? Anybody ever read about the capstone in the book of Zechariah? It was a triangular stone. It was the last stone that was put in place when the temple was finished. It was put over the doorway. And when it was put in there, it said, speak grace to it, grace to it. Just do a little bit of study, and you won't believe this nonsense. Not every frog in somebody's house is a demon. Oh, get a brain. And let me tell you, I'm not upset by this person. They believe what they believe because they've exchanged the truth for a lie. They probably are sincere. They're probably a great person. They're probably a wonderful. And can I tell you what? I know this about them. They have his purpose to fulfill through his life. And can I tell you what? They put their name on the email. So that brings value to me. They weren't afraid or concerned or intimidated to speak this. And I respect them for that, even though I totally disagree with them. Isolation. I'm going to go back to one thing. I want you to listen to me very clearly. Anybody here a bit discouraged in any way? If you are, I want you to stand to your feet. If you've got any discouragement in your life, I want to tell you how proud I am of each one of you for standing. We got leaders standing. That makes me even prouder of you. But can I share something with you? The word discouraged in the Hebrew and Greek is the word dock, D-O-C-K, off. It's like when a ship leaves the dock. You know, when a ship comes in and docks, it's attached to the dock. They take big cables. They take big ropes, whatever. They dock. It becomes part of that dock. But when it leaves to go to sea, it docks off. We could also talk about the term. Anybody here have a dog that doesn't have a tail? When you got Beanie, did he have a tail? Many dogs, like Yorkies, they are born with longer tails. When they're a pup, they dock their tail off. Or a horse, some horses, they used to dock their tail with that. Now, I didn't stand you up to beat you up, but here's the truth. You're discouraged because you have separated yourself from his purpose. You don't become discouraged when you don't get the job you want. You don't become discouraged when you have a miscarriage or when you go through hard times or you lose a son-in-law that you love with all of your life. You become discouraged when you separate yourself from his purpose. And if you are discouraged today, there's an answer. And he can come over you. He can cause that destiny that he has set you on, that not a destination, but that because you can be reinvigorated with his purpose today. But see, when you only become discouraged, when you separate yourself from the vision. I'm telling you, I'm not telling you with it. I'm going to use you too because I'm so close to your son and daughter. But they're not discouraged because they've separated themselves from the vision that God, but the vision has become maybe cloudy or foggy. I'm going to pray a prayer in just a minute. But here's the prayer you need to pray. God, give me spiritual understanding of how to reattach myself to your purpose through my life. Help me to see your purpose through my life. Some of you are standing or discouraged because you've been on the pursuit of discovering your purpose rather than discovering his purpose. And God will deal with that today if you will allow him to deal with that. Let me share with you what's discouraging some of you. You've got this imagery of how life should be. You've got this imagery of how church service should go. Who can I pick on? Rita, you a daughter. I can pick on you, can I? You got this image of what Mr. Wright looks like.
Ooh, you're so on point.
See, let me understand it. I got a word for you. Mr. Right is not Mr. Perfect. Now, there needs to be goals. He needs to love God more than he loves you. And then secondly, when he comes into your life, he needs to love your son as much as he loves you. These are all part of it. But I got news for you. There's not any Mr. Perfects. If there was, hold my hand. If there was, we're taken. There's not any Mr. Perfect. Amen. But there is the one. See, I don't believe there was one person in all of the world, Susan Riffey, that was chosen to be my wife. I believe there was one type of woman. And I am so thankful that God joined Susan and I together almost 42 years ago. She is my strength. Paul said in the book of Acts, I think myself happy. He also told his son Timothy to stir up that gift that's in you. Wigglesworth, a great voice for God, came along and he said it this way. If the Spirit doesn't move me, I'll move the Spirit. See, some of you need to understand, there's all the courage. There's all the encouragement, which is really courage. The Latin word for courage is the word heart. See, when your heart begins to drift from his purpose through you, when you lose sight of the destiny, not a destination, but see, the church for so many years now has been blinded because they see heaven as a destination. And they want to go to this destination. It's not about going to heaven. It's very much about heaven coming to earth. Father, what's your name?
Mark,
I just speak encouragement. Man, I like you. You know, I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't, you know anything, but I like this guy right here. But I like you. And let me just share something with you. Help me, Lord. I'm getting it mixed up. Somebody help me. Either Psalm 68:6 or Isaiah. No, it can't be Isaiah 68. Psalm 68:6 says, he sets the lonely in families. God's wanting the spirit of adoption to come on you. And what that means, he wants to set you among those that will allow you to be who you are. Okay? He wants you to learn how to be who you are. Not who other people try to make you. And not even the peer pressure of those around you. But I just bless you in that. Father, we just declare over every person who are walking through that hallway of discouragement. We declare at the end of that hallway is a door. And the other side of that door is a brand new road. A road that many think is crooked, but has now been made straight. A road that many people think is rough, but is now being made smooth. It's a room that's filled with resources. Father, we declare over each and every one that they will leave here today asking you, Father God, how can I reattach myself to the journey of destiny you have for me? How can I discover and bring into focus your purpose through my life? How can I fulfill your will here on earth? Lord, I ask that you give each and every one that stood to their feet great encouragement, but more than that, you give them great spiritual understanding. I declare, by the Spirit of God, I hear him speaking, that he's going to reveal his goodness to his people in the season that we've entered into like never before. Things that you quit believing for, says the Lord, I'm going to bring them to pass so fast that you will be amazed. Things that you quit dreaming about because you feel like the dream has eluded you, has escaped you, has run away from you. The Lord said, I didn't just give you that dream or show you that promise as a way of entitling you to it. I gave it so that you could attain it, says the Lord, and be empowered by it. The Lord said, I'm going to reattach you to things that you know that I've said over your life, things that I've spoken in your prayer closet, things that prophetic people have spoke over you. I'm going to reconnect you in a way that you won't lose course. You won't get off course again, says the Lord, because I'm going to deal with the sieged mindset you've been operating under, because you're not under siege of the devil. You're under siege of Holy Spirit. Just give in and give over. If you'll give in and give over, Holy Spirit will come and arrest you in such a way that you will become greater than you've yet become, says the Lord. It's not a time to question the process. For the process works for a greater weight of glory, says the Lord. For I am showing you that what does not kill you makes you stronger. And they cannot kill you. Full circle. Everybody stand to your feet. Hold your hands out like this again. Leave here today by laying your cares at His feet. If you need to get a Kleenex and bring it to the altar to lay it down to represent, if you need to, you know, I don't know what you need to do, take something out of your pocket, $100 bill, no, take something out of your pocket, put it on the altar. I don't know what you need to do as a prophetic act to show that you mean business with God, that you're not leaving here today carrying that old miserable burden that you're carrying. His burdens are light, His yoke is easy. And He's got a plan. I mean, He's got a plan for you. Deal with it. Discouragement? I command you to be broken off these people. You've given me authority in their life through relationship. I take responsibility for the battles of my friends that's in this room, and I come into the battle. And if you don't know me, you're going to think I'm fixing to be boastful, but praise God, you called me to be a brave heart. You called me to be a William Wallace in the body of Christ. And I come into that battle, I'm a bazooka, and I'm coming in, and I'm going to stir up the enemy. But I'm going to see people like Michael Rush broke through to that place. I take the sword of the Lord, and I cut off the enemy's plan against you. And I declare that the Lord High and mighty holds His sword up. And I declare, because His sword is being held over your life, you're going to leave here today and you're not going to drift back into this complacency. You're not going to drift back into this emotional distress. You're not going to begin to doubt what's going on in your life. You're going to understand the process is actually conforming you to His image, and you're going to become stronger than William Wallace himself. And you're going to become a defender to those who are weak. Some of you need to realize you're not breaking through because you're so focused on your problem. The scripture says that when Job prayed for his friends, he was healed. Some of you need to find another battle to go get in for somebody else. You'll forget your own battle. And while you're at it, the enemy's going to flee. I declare these things to be so.